All right, guys, and welcome back in. We are live here on IG Live for another episode of the Trail Count Podcast. And tonight I am, of course, your boy, the Handsome Heel Trail. I may or may not be joined tonight by my boy Jules. If he clocks in here with us or taps in with us, we'll gladly bring him in. But I may be solo tonight, but that's okay. Obviously, tonight we're going to go over the big headlines coming out, of course, in the pro wrestling world. Tonight, we ended SmackDown Live with a bang, as usual. So we're going to jump into that in just a bit. But y'all, I want to jump into this first, man. You had your man's the Diddler, P. Diddy, locked up. I think it was like 4 or 5 years he got sentenced to in prison. Now, we know how these celebrity things normally go. I think he'll be out. Now, I'm in no way, shape, or form supporting what he did, but what I'm saying is, you guys know how some of these celebrity imprisonments go sometimes, you know, money talks and things of that nature. So I'm saying Diddy probably won't be in jail but like 2 or 3 years max, but they got him in there for 4 or 5, and I'm glad that you know, he got what's coming to him. But we'll see how much time he actually does, because y'all know how this goes. But again, I'm not supporting anything, you know, he did. I'm also not overly upset with him. Like, I think, you know, I don't get too wrapped into, like, you know, these headlines and things going on, like politics. And I keep up with the world, right, just for general knowledge. But I don't get, like, super, like I'm not going to be, like, outraged at Diddy, like, you know, like I know him personally or something. Like, you know, a lot of people, you know, they show all this emotion with celebrities and stuff. And then, like, when somebody that they actually know, like, does some crazy stuff, then, you know, they don't give the same energy, right? So I don't get caught up in it. But, you know, that's the big headline today. The Diddler finally getting his up behind bars. So we'll see what happens with that. Now let's jump into pro wrestling here just for a bit, off the real world. So a lot of things y'all been circulating, man, about John Cena possibly, or a rumor mill has been going, more of like, at this point, like a fantasy match type thing. And I say that because the rumor going around, John Cena versus Adam Copeland for his last match, also known as Edge, for his final match of Saturday night's main event, I believe December 13th in Washington, D.C. Now, if you're a pro wrestling fan, you are aware that Edge, or Adam, or whoever you want to call him, is currently under contract with AEW now. So a lot of fans are calling this are calling this whole thing, you know, a, you know, could it happen? Could it possibly not happen? So yeah, like I was saying about the John Cena situation, we had a few issues there, but we're back. I'm not saying that this can be impossible, because here's what I think. If you know, you've been keeping up with everything, I did, you know, I watch everything. So I watched the whole storyline over in AEW, where the last match that he had was you had FTR pretty much taking him and his wife, taking him and Beth Phoenix out the game. We haven't seen him since that last big pay-per-view match that he had. So I'm thinking that, I mean, you got to look at the fact that this is somebody that has a long-term standing relationship in the wrestling community. So, I mean, it wouldn't be outside of the realm that he's got some kind of, you know, special contract deal. First of all, we don't know how long this has been in the talks, right, or in the works. So, for all we know, this could have been a long-term plan for him to have X amount of matches in AEW. And I'm not saying he didn't have a legit AEW contract, because obviously he did. But what I'm saying is, there could be something here in the works where, you know, we see something like where Tony Khan allows him to come over one night only and get that, you know, that one last match against John Cena, because this is John Cena's final match of his career. I don't think, you know, at least I don't think that Tony Khan would be looking at it like, oh, okay, this is the competition thing. It's more of like a respect thing towards, you know, a long-term veteran like Adam Copeland, and really a respect thing towards John Cena, and just a respect towards the industry for what it is. I think for one night only, I could see him allowing something like that. You know, it's kind of a tit for tat. I mean, you know, WWE allowed Adam Copeland to come over with his theme music. Now, I'm not sure if he already owned the music, but or how that worked. But I mean, there's a lot of things that we've seen. You know, as much as fans try to make it, you know, this whole AEW WWE war. I mean, I'm pretty sure both companies are like, you know, have a healthy amount of competition. Obviously, just any business or industry, you want to outdo the next person, right? I mean, that's just what it is. That's how things work. But I do think there's some type of professional respect there where there are, you know, behind the scenes negotiations with certain things. Hey, you know what? If you let, you know, if you let your guy come do this, you know, we'll let this guy do that. Like, so you know, we'll keep an eye on it. As much as a lot of fans are saying, you know, it's a dream match or it's a rumor, it's not going to happen. I mean, we have seen multiple things happen that we claim that were never going to happen or we thought we would never see. So I'm not counting it out. Yeah, I'm here for it. I think that would be the perfect, you know, final opponent. I really can't think of anybody else that should face John Cena last, unless they're going to give a major push to a rising star, maybe like a Bron Breakker or like a Oba Femi, maybe like a Gunther, even though I feel like even at this point, Gunther doesn't, I mean, not saying that he couldn't benefit from a John Cena rub, but even at this point, I don't think that he really needs it. I think if you look, I mean, if this whole John Cena farewell tour is supposed to be about, you know, nostalgia and just looking over the course of his career, Edge is one of those top opponents that he should be taking on. I mean, honestly, this whole thing is overdue. It should have happened maybe earlier. And, you know, when they first started these appearances, something should have been worked out maybe. So of that nature. So, again, we don't know what could be going on behind the scenes. So everybody out there acting like, you know, they know it all or they got all the answers. None of us honestly do. But I'm, you know, hoping, praying to the wrestling gods that we get this match. I think it would be awesome. And if it's not Edge, I'm pretty sure, you know, Papa H and TKO are going to still somehow knock our socks off and give us, and more importantly, give John Cena the send-off that he definitely deserves there. So moving on from that, we had, so now this is something, well, we're moving on to something that I don't like, okay? So obviously, some of you may, I may have not heard the news that I think it was like, it was Israel or whatever other countries had an issue with the name of the NXT special event that was originally named NXT TNA Invasion. They were online basically saying that the name of the event was offensive and that it was going against, you know, whatever they had going on and a bunch of other stuff. And I think they were saying that even the date that they're having Invasion, which is this coming Tuesday, they were saying that it was the also the anniversary of some attacks that happened in Israel, something like that. Just pretty much making it into something that it really shouldn't be, guys. So with that being said, honestly, I figured that TKO and WWE would pretty much ignore it. Because, I mean, it's a bunch of smoke going on. But these fools actually go and they change the name of the NXT show coming up to NXT Showdown. So my issue is not only these dudes changing the name to pretty much a corny-ass, very generic name. It sounds like something that somebody would name like their pay-per-view on 2K25 or something. You know what I mean? Like, it sounds like it doesn't really sound original, like something I would get excited for. Obviously, I'm going to watch the event anyways. I mean, it's still going to be a good show. It's just the name. It just seems like, you know, first of all, I just don't like how they bent the knee to Israel. Like, I don't have a problem with those guys over there, but I feel like, hey, you know, this is the United States. We got our stuff going on here. Not everything's about you. I feel like them, you know, pretty much complaining about this is just them reaching for attention or just, you know, whatever reason. But I don't like the fact that TKO bent the knee on this and went ahead and changed the name because of a few things. I mean, first of all, why? Like, for what? And secondly, I just feel like this gives the message to everyone that all they got to do is hop on social media and make a few complaints and they can just control what how things go. And that's not how it should go. So I definitely hate that they did that. I feel like they should have. I mean, they could have made a statement if they felt like they needed to respond. But changing the name and then changing it to something like this, the showdown, it's terrible. It's terrible. It's all bad. So hopefully, the show this Tuesday is not as bad as their decision making on the branding change. So, but I do think it's going to be a great show. Nevertheless, I'm just kind of disappointed in them doing that. So let's jump into the SmackDown review, guys. Tonight, we opened up with Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton facing off against The Vision, popping off. Paul Heyman being Paul Heyman, doing his thing. This obviously, I mean, we know anybody that's been watching wrestling for a long time, we know how this goes. The opening promo, 5 minutes in that promo, I knew we were probably going to get a big tag team main event. And I think also that tag team match main event actually leaked online. So we'll fast forward to that in a little bit, but we basically had Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton teaming up tonight against The Vision, Bron Breakker, and Bronson Reed, or the Bron-Brons, whatever nickname you got for those boys, were popping off tonight. Then fast forward a little bit, we had, which I saw this coming. We saw the breakup of Mello Don't Miz up in there. So basically, as we saw last week, the Miz and Mello teaming up. It was the Miz, trying to make everything all about him, causing them to lose the match. This week, Miz goes to confront Mello, because last week, Mello pretty much let Miz hang himself. Miz pretty much got himself pinned. Mello did not come in for the help on purpose. He could have stopped the pin, didn't do it. Then you had the Miz catching up with him backstage tonight. He's like, "Hey man, what the hell is up? You left me hanging out there, blah blah blah." So Mello pretty much, I feel like, in Mello fashion, but it was still kind of like a little bit of respect there. He's like, "Hey man, look, pretty much I'm done. Me and you aren't a thing. You can, respectfully get up out of my face." And pretty much, Carmelo cuts off the Miz and then proceeds to go out and challenge, obviously, Sami Zayn, his corny ass, running around. Yeah, I don't like Sami that much, y'all, if y'all have noticed. But I don't know. But we'll get into why I don't like Sami later on, or a different episode when I get Jules back. But anyway, let's continue. But as you know, Sami Zayn is out there doing his thing with the open challenge with the United States Championship every week now. So obviously, your boy Mello comes out there to challenge Sami Zayn. Now, I pretty much already saw this coming. As soon as what happened backstage, the Miz is looking like, "Oh, you ain't just gonna cut me off and get away with it." So, but I thought they were at least gonna let, Mello. I figured what might happen is they might let Mello get to the ring, and then like him and Sami Zayn have like a decent, maybe 5, 10 minute, interaction, like a match or whatever, give us a little bit of something, and then the Miz comes in and then obviously causes Mello the match. No, the Miz, he stood on business. He didn't wait with no time. Mello couldn't even get down the ramp before he gets undercut by the Miz, like no time to even make the challenge. And then, but I like how they handled the whole thing. Because basically, we had tonight, we had two storylines pretty much elevate themselves to a certain point. Because now we just kicked off the whole beef, which I saw this coming weeks ago. We just kicked off the whole Mello Miz feud. I'm cool with that thing going all the way into like Survivor Series or whatever happens with that. That's cool. Then you had Aleister Black come out, because now Mello got taken out and got injured by the Miz, so he can't challenge Sami Zayn. So pops out. Aleister Black, who had like a lights out. I mean, to me, that was the match of the night right there, besides the main event. Aleister Black just tore the house down with Sami Zayn in a mat in a crazy match. And then, of course, I like how they also gave us more fuel to the feud between Aleister Black and Damian Priest. Don't forget that that's going on. So Damian Priest comes out and interferes in the Aleister Black Sami Zayn match. Distracting Aleister, opening, Sami Zayn to retain the United States Championship, which I love that type of stuff, because basically Sami Zayn as a champion stays protected. He gets the win, and Aleister Black, doesn't lose clean. He doesn't get buried. He still looks strong, because obviously he had a great match, but he got distracted by Damian, so he stays protected even though he lost the match. Then after the match, you got Damian Priest hitting that beautiful Razor's Edge on your boy Aleister Black through the announce table, man. Like that was pretty fire. So I can't wait to see what else they got planned for these guys, man. You got to give me like a street fight or something, or like a Falls Count Anywhere match we need between Damian Priest and Aleister Black, man. But even if it's a regular one-on-one match, I'll take it. Obviously, we're going to get it. I'm pretty sure maybe they'll even, I don't know how much room or time they have on that card, because it's already a pretty stacked card. Maybe they'll add that match to the Crown Jewel show coming up here next weekend. Who knows? We'll see what we get with that one. Or maybe we even get it like at Survivor Series, something like that. And that would be cool. But yeah, that was pretty that right there. So we had that go down. And then we had shout out to Zaruka, man. Zarya, Sol Ruka, the tag team from NXT popping up and doing their thing tonight. Went head to head with the Secret Harvest, Chelsea Green, Alba Fire. That match was pretty good there. Zaruka gets the win. You know, I think they both look really good on the main roster. They look really good as a tag team. Even though if you're keeping up with NXT, I kind of feel like sometimes, like low-key, I feel like Zarya is going to turn on Sol Ruka. Maybe she feels a little bit overshadowed by Sol Ruka because of Sol Ruka with the double championships. You know, with that, you know, I think she's the speed champion and obviously one half of the tag championships. And even though Zarya is also obviously her partner, also a tag team champion, I feel like Sol Ruka still gets that spotlight as, like, you know, the head of everything because, you know, her having two titles right now. I could be reading too much into it. And if they were going to break them up, maybe it's not a reason to bring them to the main roster right now. So I could be reading, you know, too deep into it. And like I said, right now, honestly, also, it looks like they're building something, a program with them also involving Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss. So, you know, there's more to see there, because those two right now, even though, you know, they got their thing going, I don't really see any other challengers. So maybe they're holding Zaruka together for them. So we'll see what happens with that. But I mean, but don't forget that I told y'all this. It might not happen right away, but I do feel like eventually Zarya might. I could see her, like, you know, I mean, she looks like she could be the perfect heel, I feel like. You know what I mean? Or maybe I just want to see a Zarya heel run. So that's what it is. I don't know. So we'll see what happens with that. And then we roll over. Well, we saw a little commercial promo, whatever you want to call it. They announced Roman Reigns is going to be back on Monday Night Raw. So stay tuned for that on Monday. The Tribal Chief, the OTC, back in the building. He's already finished filming Street Fighter, which I cannot wait for that movie to drop. I am going to be the first man in the theaters. So shout out to the OTC. Can't wait to see him back on Netflix on Monday night. And then we had Tiffany Stratton come out to do her whole spill with Stephanie Valkyrie with the contract signing. Pretty much this thing went like any other contract signing would go. You know, it's the banter, it's the back and forth. And then, so what interests me is that they did kind of mention and reminded us how Tiffany Stratton is undefeated in 2025, which is true, which kind of gives me an early prediction that Stephanie Valkyrie is going to win this match at Crown Jewel. For just a few reasons. Number one reason, I feel like, and I'm not saying that Stephanie is not validated or she's not already like a main eventer, but I just feel like she needs like this big win at a big stage like this to further elevate her, right? Like Tiffany really doesn't need it. Like, you know, she's, again, she's undefeated already this year. She's already well established. She's already pretty much had her big matches, and not to say that she doesn't have more big matches to come, but she's already had that. She's already had the WrestleMania win. I just feel like Stephanie Valkyrie needs to get this win more at Crown Jewel. And then there's really no threat to this for Tiffany Stratton. It can't hurt her. If she loses this match, it's not like she's gonna lose her championship. You know, I think, honestly, I think also Stephanie needs to win this match clean, because you got two baby faces going at it. Neither one of them right now, I don't think, are involved in anything else with anybody else. I could be wrong about that. But I think they're gonna give us a straight, just a classic wrestling match where someone comes out on top clean. And I do think that should be Stephanie Valkyrie. So we'll keep eyes on that. And then also I noticed during her promo, man, like, you know, she's learning English, you know, very well. But there was a part in there, and I'm not like trying to clown her or nothing like that, but there was a part up in there where she was like, and she was like, you know, I won't, or she was saying something like, I'm not losing any much more or something like that. Like the words were all jumbled up. So it was kind of funny because you can tell like she's trying, but she's getting there, bless her heart. And I'm not making fun of, you know, Stephanie, but she's getting there. Sounds a lot better. So obviously the more English, especially when you're in WWE, the more English, you know, you can learn and get better on the mic. Obviously that's going to be your bread and butter right there. So, she's doing her thing there. And then we saw Kiana James tonight coming out still. They're still running that whole thing with Kiana James and Julia. It seems like Julia is starting to make her way up the ranks. I just feel like Julia, well, I don't feel like it should be obvious that Julia is, I just feel like light years right now behind the development of Stephanie Valkyrie. And the only reason I'm bringing up Stephanie Valkyrie back up is because if you think about it, both of these ladies came in at the same time. I mean, they were both pitched at the same time as two of the next big things to go through. So it was assumed that both of them were going to be like, okay, you know, on the same, you know, timeline. Like, you know, you go main roster, you go main roster. And they both did go main roster, but I just feel like Stephanie right now has that rocket on her back. And then it's like Julia looking to see where hers is at. And yeah, Julia's walking around. I think she's the United States champion, right? And that's cool and everything. But I just feel like there's just something missing there when it comes to her push. That's just me, even as a United States champion. So that's just me, though. If you guys want to chime in on that, hit my DMs. Let me know how y'all feel about it. Do you guys feel like Julia is on the same level right now as Stephanie Valkyrie? Because I don't ever even hear anybody talking about Julia. I mean, she gets mentioned, but it's always Stephanie, which is great because I love Stephanie too. But I kind of expected both of them to be like right here is what I expected. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like maybe Stephanie over on Raw, like how she is right now doing her own thing. And then like Julia over on SmackDown. Because I don't think you really needed to have them on the same show. But then when it comes to this show stuff, guys, it's like, I mean, and they always do this draft thing every year. I feel like WWE never, I'm sorry. I got to laugh at it because it's like WWE never honors like the whole branding thing. They'll be like, oh, okay, this person's on Raw. This person's on SmackDown. This person's doing that in the third. But then it's like, okay, 2-3 months down the line, now, all of a sudden, they're making an excuse to bring so-and-so that's supposed to be on Raw to have an appearance on SmackDown. And then 6 months later after that, they just totally get away from the whole brand thing. So now I just look at it like everybody's everywhere. But yeah, very interesting to see the continued development of Julia next to Stephanie Valkyrie going into this next season coming up here. So then we jump to the main event. Like I said, you had Cody Rhodes and your boy Randy Orton versus The Vision, Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker. And I mean, these guys just come in and do what they do. Lights out match tonight, man. Like Bron Breakker is not even a real person, dude. Like he's like a cheat code. It's like every match this dude shows up, it's gonna be a big spot. Tonight, he didn't disappoint. I mean, this dude just straight up sent Cody Rhodes straight to the Shadow Realm, man. I'm talking about spirit this dude through like the whatever you call that little barricade thingy over there. I mean, just took them straight out. If you didn't watch the show tonight, go back and at least watch the main event. You can't miss any match where we get Bron Breakker. You can't miss it. And I mean, I like Bronson Reed too, but I mean, Bron Breakker just on another planet right now. You know what I mean? So that match was going good. Obviously, you had Cody and Randy start to get the momentum, but then here comes your boy, like the crook he is, my man, the visionary Seth Rollins, hopping the barricade or wherever he came from and just hits the stomp. I believe it was on, hits the stomp on Randy Orton. And then, you know, of course, Bronson Reed hits the tsunami from the top rope and gets the 1-2-3 in the division, get the W there. After everything is clear, you know, the big takeaway tonight is Seth, you know, all these guys are walking to the back. They already took out Cody Rhodes. They already took out Randy Orton. So, you know, now you got Seth. And it looked like, you know, I mean, we already know how Division does it, how the Bron Brons do it, right? You know, they beat you, they cheat you, and they beat you up, right? So it looks like they were getting ready to, you know, put some more hands and feet to Cody Rhodes and your boy. But then Seth Rollins is like, nah, y'all go to the back. I got this. Like, he wanted, like, this one-on-one interaction with Cody Rhodes. Then you had Paul Heyman, who's like, No, look, man, whatever you thinking, don't do it. Just walk to the back with us. We already got the W. We up out of here. We good. Don't do it. And then right before, obviously Seth Rollins don't listen, right? But right before that, what's very interesting, what I want y'all to take away from this is that Paul Heyman says, he's like, hey, man, he's in your head. He's in your head. Now, if you've been watching my show or listening on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast, if you've been listening to my last, I think the last episode or two, I've been talking about how it's like Cody is in the head of Seth Rollins going into this Crown Jewel match, right? Then tonight you had Paul Heyman, you know, say what he says. But anyway, Seth ignores him, goes back to the ring, and goes for another stomp. Obviously, if you didn't see it, but if you did see it, you already know that Cody Rhodes gets out the way, counters it into a crossroads and leave Seth Rollins laying. You know what I'm saying? And then what's even crazier, the camera cuts back because the Vision is watching all this on the ramp. You got Bron Breakker and your boy Bronson about to run back up in there and help Seth. But then you got Paul Heyman like, nah, we not going back up in there. That's on him. You know what I mean? He holding them back like, we not doing this tonight. I told him not to go back in there. He got what he got. You know what I'm saying? So a little tough love there too tonight from Paul Heyman, not allowing the dogs to go back in there and jump back on Cody. And that's how we end the show with your boy Seth Rollins laying. So I already know Monday night about to be crazy. You know what I'm saying? After what we saw tonight, you know, we going to see where else they go with that. But that was funny as hell. And like I said, I've been saying, and like Paul said it tonight, Cody Rhodes is definitely in the head of Seth Rollins. So we're going to see, you know, how that's going to affect that match going in the Crown Jewel, even though I still say only because Cody Rhodes won the Crown Jewel last year, and it wouldn't be impossible for them to go ahead and decide they're going to give, you know, Cody Rhodes, you know, two Crown Jewel wins in 2 years in a row. I mean, that's like that. I mean, first of all, I think, yeah, he would be the first person to win it 2 years in a row. And that would be, I mean, that's something, I mean, that's clout. I mean, that's more of stats that you can throw on his record. And when you're talking about him, you can mention how he's a two-time Crown Jewel champion. So I'm not saying it's impossible for Cody Rhodes to go in and win 2 years in a row, but I just really think they're going to probably still find a way. I mean, I don't think it's going to be clean, but I think they'll find a way to get Seth Rollins his first Crown Jewel win. So we'll see what goes down with that. Then, yeah, your man's Booker T back on commentary tonight, which I'm with this Booker T thing tonight. You know, I'm with this Booker T thing. And then if you was paying attention, there was a little segment right there where they kind of showed Booker T at the commentary and then Michael Cole. And then it was kind of a little, you know, a little comment because, you know, Booker was saying something about Corey Graves was mentioned. And Booker was like, oh, no, he out. He ain't coming back. Like, he's done. Right. And then Michael Cole, I mean, maybe it was just for TV, but I kind of feel like, I mean, I don't know. Y'all got to watch it for yourself. But I kind of feel like it was a little bit of like, I don't want to say it was an issue, but I kind of feel like Michael Cole came off like he was a little bit annoyed by Booker T saying that. Because Booker T was like, kept on saying like, he's gone. And Michael Cole was like, he's not gone. Like, you know what I mean? You know, it was like, you don't really always see Michael Cole doing that. When somebody makes a joke, you know, he kind of rolls with it and goes into whatever he got to say next. But then they was already into the next segment. And then Cole goes out of his way to say, hey, you know, oh, no, he coming back. And then if you look, when the camera went back on them, Booker T kind of shifted his eyes kind of over at Michael Cole, like, okay, like, you know, whatever, right? So, and you already know, Booker T is a real one. I could be reaching. I could be stirring the pot. It could mean nothing. But all I'm saying is Booker T is a real one. And what I mean by that, if you listen to his podcast, if you don't, go check that out, because that's one of my favorite podcasts, the Booker T Hall of Fame podcast. If it was something more to that, he's going to say it. He don't care. He's going to say, hey, you know, blase, blase. Because on his show before, there has been, not with Michael Cole, but other announcers or over on NXT or wherever else, where there was a little bit of some stuff that he didn't like that was said during the broadcast. And he openly on his show spoke about it and said, yeah, I didn't like how they did A, B, and C. And I checked him in the back about that, or I spoke to him about that. So Booker T's real. So if there was something tonight that was a little bit of an inside comment or maybe something he didn't like or any type of energy or whatever, he's going to speak about it. He's going to speak about it. And I believe he does those shows every Tuesday. I think, like, yeah, every Tuesday. So check back on that. But yeah, so, but anyway, either way, it was great to have him on commentary. I'm cool with Corey Graves never coming back. I ain't got no beef with Corey Graves. But I really like Booker T on commentary. If Booker T could commentary every show of the week, I'd be good with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, straight up, bro. Straight up. Straight up. And then we got some folks checking in here on IG Live. And my man's just saying that Seth, yeah, Seth needs the W. Yeah, because Seth Rollins, and going back to that Crown Jewel thing I was talking about, somebody commented saying that Seth needs the W because, yeah, it's true. Like I was saying, it's because he's never had it before, even though he's Seth freaking Rollins. He's got all of these accolades and all those type of things. But what I'm saying is he don't got a Crown Jewel championship. So that's something that needs to be added to his legacy, you know, added to that clout, to that list, to be able to say, hey, he's got the Royal Rumble. He's got Money in the Bank. He got Crown Jewel. He got, you know what I'm saying? All these things that they want to always, you know, put out there and throw at you. These are the opportunities to give these people, you know, their flowers and things of that nature. So that's where that's at. All right. So then, okay. So I know I can't miss this one, y'all. Now we into the weeds here. Hold on. I think. Oh, hold on, folks. Hold on, folks. We got my man Jules Bell in the building, about to join us. Let me see here. I think he's about to join us, y'all. Let me see. He came just in time for the hot topics. We're going to give him a chance to jump in here, but we was going to talk about your man's. There he go. What's going on, Jules, man? Man, my boy Jules Bell live out there in Arizona. What's going on, man? How you doing tonight, bro? How you feeling?
Not much.
Yeah.
Interesting, yeah, we'll put it like that.
Yeah, man, I just got done reviewing that, man. But look, we just got into the hot topics. You came just in time because I got to pick your brain on this, bro. Because then you got your man's Andrade, bro. Let's talk about it. Because, well, we know, okay, so first of all, to be fair, you know, I guess this time him leaving WWE was not his fault. Well, I guess it was his fault, but it wasn't like he wanted to leave. You know, he got in trouble with the wellness policy or whatever, disciplinary actions or whatever. So WWE, you know, forcing him out this time and you know, telling him that he got to go, basically. But my thing is, you got all these other options. I feel like, okay, you got, you got TNA. But even though I guess TNA don't count these days, because, you know, I feel like TNA is pretty much under control by WWE anyways. So I just couldn't see them releasing that dude and then letting him go over to TNA. I don't care what nobody say, even though everybody tried to say, oh, well, TNA still their own company. No, they not. TNA is, and look, and whenever it comes out, y'all gonna know, because TNA is being, I don't know what's going on with Jules' live down there. He got some issues going on, but I'm gonna keep on rolling. But But I feel like TNA is being controlled by TKO. So I'm not gonna say, because you got some people saying that, oh, or at least even if they ain't officially owned and being controlled by TKO, they definitely have influence. So I doubt that if I'm in a business partnership, you know, with somebody, I'm probably not going to hire the dude they just kicked out the front door. I'm probably not going to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, so even if, so they got to stop bringing up TNA. I'm not going to say that. But then you have other options, like other promotions that he could have went to, man. Like, you know, even like New Japan or something, like, you know what I mean? You know, but then to you know, I don't know what the, even though what they said that when he left AEW, he left there on good terms. You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, what's your thoughts on this? Because my man done went back and forth like twice, like 3-4 times. So what's your thoughts on this, bro?
Well, first of all, Andrade is an interesting case. I'm putting it like that. We've seen, of course, him go to WWE. Well, first of all, left AEW. You know, I guess things he was talking about there that he wasn't being used the right way. You know, he was kind of a little bit frustrated in that department. And so that's why he took his ball and kind of went over to the other side. So now this comes about, you know, with the whole him leaving WWE and now him shifting back over. I'm just wondering what the plan is. You know, I saw where they put him in a Don Callis family.
Everybody in Don Callis family. You know what? At this point,
I'm gonna be serious with y'all listening out there. That's another version of the NWO. People, I'm serious. How many people in one?
Everybody and their moms was in the NWO, man. You know what? At this point, I'm in the Don Callis family. At this point, I'm about to pull up. I'm about you. You don't never know. You might catch your boy Trail up here on Collision tomorrow night. You know what I'm saying? At this point, everybody and their moms. I feel like that's their go-to. You know what? We don't have no creative direction with this guy, so we're gonna put him in the Don Callis family. Now I'm gonna say this because I ain't gonna do my mans like that though. Because I do like Don Callis. I'm a Don Callis fan. He's funny as shit. I think he's very intelligent. He's a very excellent pro wrestling mind. He's one of the people, and I've always said that there's a handful of people that is keeping AEW on TV, and Don Callis is one of them. I'm going to say that. I'm not going to do them like that. But I do feel like they just throw people in his group, and he does very good at managing them, though, because he'll say, okay, you know, these two guys are going to be in a tag team. Like with Kyle Fletcher, now the work that he's doing right now with Kyle Fletcher, it's top of the line. It's top of the line. Kyle Fletcher before Don Callis was just the most dry, just nothing, because he was rolling around when he was running around with, what was it, Will Ospreay?
Yeah.
He was running around with Will Ospreay. Like, I was like, okay, this guy's like, whatever, but like, but now, I mean, Kyle Fletcher, like, is that dude, like, main event, like, level, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, I like Don Callis, but yeah, you right, man. They keep on throwing people in his group, man, but, yeah. He got the whole Paul Heyman scheme going on, where it's like, he's got that, the same kind of, you know, he's got that thinking, that, you know, creativity going. You know what I mean? Because I will say, anybody that you put in that group, you know, he makes them relevant. You know what I mean? Except for a few people, like that damn, what's his name? That Brian Keith? I don't know what's going on. Are they even still in there? I don't know if they even still with them, though.
Brian Keith still in there?
Brian Keith and Big Bill, I don't know. But they were in there, though.
he's still doing that, I guess, that Learning Tree, I guess, maybe Jericho thing.
Nah, they done with Learning Tree, though. I thought they was with, because he's not even on TV right now. Jericho. I don't know, but whatever. But for the most part, everybody that is in the Don Callis, I mean, we can't keep up, folks. Okay, the people that is in there, they are, you know, doing, I guess, something because of Don Callis. So there's that. So if anything, definitely now that he got Andrade in there, they just became even more dangerous, I guess. So hopefully he stay put, man, and stay out of trouble. You know, you know what I'm saying. So that's that. But I mean, you know.
Yeah, back to Andrade just real fast. I just hope it's big plans for him. I hope they don't waste him and stuff. Now, he did, I saw where he attacked, was it Kenny Omega? So I saw.
Yes.
He attacked him. So maybe that's the start of something big.
I want to see that match. Give me that match at WrestleDream. At WrestleDream, give me that Kenny Omega and Andrade. That's gonna be a straight up banger. That's gonna be a banger for sure. For sure. Hell yeah. So hey man, but you know what, the overall jokes aside, man, like, you know, I mean, right now, you know, they cooking them right now, man. They got them on reels and making fun of him going back and forth. But I mean, you know, things happen. And at least he was smart enough to go and get that bag, man. And like, just like anybody right now, right? If I lose my career or I lose my job, whatever, then I'm gonna go to the next place cooking with that bag. And that's what he did, you know. So you can't get mad at that. You know, had he popped up somewhere else, like a smaller promotion, then somebody would have had something to say about that. They would have been like, oh, well, you know, how he going to go down there and go from doing this, you know, now, you know, or whatever. So, you know, so good luck to him, man. So we'll definitely keep an eye on that. Then, bro, they talking about how do we feel about WrestleMania possibly being, which you already know. You already know about us, bro. We be at Mania, bro. We be at Mania every year that we can get up there, bro. So my answer is I'm for it. But they, you know, I wouldn't even say a rumor. I kind of saw like one of these little like so-called wrestling news pages they posted saying that they were talking about a possibility. Actually, I think what it was, I think they got the story from a podcast, because I think it might have been mentioned on the Kevin, because everybody got a podcast, you know. Hell, I got a podcast. Here we are. Now, because I ain't going to be all saying everybody got a podcast. But what I'm saying is, so like the Kevin Nash podcast, I think it was in the Kevin Nash show that he mentioned that he could possibly see in the future that they might have WrestleMania two times a year, where they, and I would assume that one would be, I mean, if something like that were to happen, I assume that, you know, one would be like in a foreign location, like how we getting the WrestleMania in Saudi coming up. And then obviously you'd have one in the States. So how we feel about that?
That's what I thought they was, you know, they were going to set up for this year. I thought they were going to do Mania in Vegas and then do Mania, of course, in Saudi. And I think we're going to actually do that next year, though. Not this year, I don't know. But next year's WrestleMania, I thought they were going to do America and then do Saudi Arabia like later on in the month. And unfortunately that didn't happen.
That's what you're hoping for. You know what? Let me tell y'all something about Jules, all right? Let me tell y'all something about this man, okay? Let me tell you something. This man, for whatever reason, maybe because he ain't never did it before, he just nervous or whatever. Now, if y'all don't know about me, I travel internationally. You know, I've been back and forth. I've been to like more than a few countries. I, you know, did my amount of flying. One of my craziest trips is when I was in Kuwait. I flew from Kuwait back to New York for WrestleMania, 19 hours for WrestleMania. So I've been there, done it. Let me tell y'all something about Jules, though. This man, has not done it, and I think he is afraid to do it. And I told him, that's my boy. I said, look, man, we're going to go. I've told him, y'all, right? And I'm putting you on the spot on this pod, right? I put you on the spot. I told him that he is going with me to Saudi Arabia next year. We're doing it. I told him, you know, I got him. I'm going to escort him to the airport. I'm going to make sure we got seats right next to each other the whole time. You know, I'm going to babysit him and make sure he don't get kidnapped. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to do all that because he ain't never been to another country. So, he worried about all this stuff. A lot of this goofy stuff don't even exist. You know what I mean? Whatever. So I'm right there with him, y'all, right? We're going to get Jules on this plane. We're going to get Jules on this plane. Okay, so I got time. I got time to make it happen, but we doing this WrestleMania. I mean, think about it, it's clout. Like, who's going to be able to say, well, obviously, you're going to have fans. I mean, I ain't the only American fan that's going to go. But come on now, for the majority, come on now. Who, just on average, who's going to be able to be like, oh, yeah, I was at WrestleMania. So, come on, man. That's like, you know, and I don't care what everybody want to say. Oh, what trails like, you damn right. I'm a clout chaser. You damn right, and I'm proud of it. You ain't gonna gaslight me into feeling bad for being successful. Okay, I'm a clout chaser. Matter of fact, I'm gonna get a clout chaser t-shirt. I'm gonna get a t-shirt, clout chaser. Right across the top. You know what I'm saying? So I don't care. And guess what? I've always said that I wanted to do, for real though, I've always said I wanted to do a pro wrestling event. I didn't care what it was, overseas. I almost went over there, but my schedule got, because I really, and to AEW's credit, I was going to do the AEW in London, but I just couldn't get over there. But you know what I mean? So I've always wanted to, you know, now this is the opportunity. And again, I didn't care what event it was. I wanted, because really before they announced Mania, I was going to do the Royal Rumble in Saudi. But now I'm definitely WrestleMania. I mean, my favorite event of the year. Now, I mean, it checks all boxes, you know what I mean? You get WrestleMania out the way, then you get to do it in Saudi Arabia, you know? And obviously, I mean, it's Saudi Arabia, man. There's so much other stuff to do there and stuff to experience. So I'm excited for the trip, and we are going on this trip, you know what I'm saying? And that's just what it is. So y'all heard it here first. I want y'all to apply pressure to Jules. Hit him up in the DMs. Hit him in the DMs. Tell him he's gone. Push for this. But on a serious note here, man, I mean, yeah, I think marketing-wise, I think this would be smart for them to do. I'd go to both. I'm crazy. I'd go to both of them. And, I mean, I'm pretty sure they would, you know, give us time in between. Like, you know, maybe you have, like, the traditional, like, March and April. Maybe that one's, like, international. Then you got another one, like, closer to the end of the year. Maybe, like, you got it. I don't know what secondary month they would choose. I would think they would take advantage of like the summertime, maybe like July, something like that.
And let me throw this in there too. You know, Indianapolis is still supposed to get their WrestleMania 2 as well in the near future. And I think it was some talks, I guess, about them possibly, I don't know. It's on hold right now, so I guess right now they're not really for sure, like, what date or what time frame they're going to hold WrestleMania in Indianapolis, because that's still on the table, too, as well. So don't get that date. Did the contract, you know, so they did the Royal Rumble already. They're supposed to get a SummerSlam, and they're supposed to get course of WrestleMania.
I mean, I'm trying to figure out how much money they paying. Because, I mean, to me, ain't nothing special about Indy. But, I mean, you know, and if you're watching and you're from there, I'm sorry, but ain't nothing special about y'all. I mean, that's what it is. Now, he over there struggling or whatever. Or if you're listening or you're watching, sorry, I didn't mean to say that. Jules having more technical issues, but I'm going to keep rolling. Yeah, but like I said, I don't see nothing special about Indy. Yes, I visited there before. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's just a good, maybe as far as like pro wrestling, that's just a good market for them. They continuously, I mean, just even certain cities, I guess, again, it's the market and the business, I guess, but certain cities, I feel like they get way too many events at once, and it's like, okay, for what? But I mean, if the numbers make sense and the money makes sense, then I mean, I guess so. But we'll see what goes down with that and who gets what. But definitely, I would be interested to see. My thing again, like, is, you know, how would they do the scheduling? Because I did say before you got cut off right there, I was saying that they could probably do like July. But then, I mean, you got SummerSlam. So the only thing that I see that makes sense is maybe they do like a September or something like that. I don't know how that would look. It would just be weird. But I still go to both of them now. You know what I mean? I still go to both of them. But it would just be weird. And then also, if they're gonna do two different manias, are you doing? If that happens, is it still going to be two nights for each one? Because now that's four nights of Mania a year. Or is it now that you have two, do you cut it up?
You know, I would think so. Just like that, if you do the U.S. and you do Saudi Arabia, it'll still be the two nights. Still be each night. So you're looking at Saturday, Sunday, and you're looking at much that.
They gonna get that money though. But
I would not put the past TKO come not 26, but 27 or 28, whatever. Next time they may have it in Saudi Arabia. Yeah, they definitely gonna go to WrestleMania. So
yeah, because I feel like.
People are going, I don't mean to cut you.
No.
I just think the people are going to be complaining.
They already are complaining.
But we already know
what people are complaining. But like I said on my last pod, I'm not going to give them no more airtime. But we know what group of people are complaining, also known as the poors. but again, I said I wasn't gonna do that. I said I wasn't gonna do all that. So we gonna just slide on. But let's go ahead and talk about the people's champion, right? The Rock, because it came out that he was, you know, spinning his wheels and talking about down the line possibly running for president. Are we voting for The Rock as president? I say, hey, look who we already got. So, at this point, now back in the day, I would have said, hell no. Like, and not that I don't like The Rock, just because I would just never see them even letting somebody, like, you know, from that type of background. And not even saying The Rock's a bad dude, but I'm just saying, like, before, you know, you had certain like senators and certain people that, you know, okay, those are pretty much going to be the guys who are going to get those type of opportunities, right? And then, you know, because back, and even back in the day, you had celebrities might joke about it, or they might say, oh yeah, I'm going to run for president, but they, you know, never did, you know what I mean? But no, like now we're living in a time, man, where anybody might be the damn president. So I mean, hey, you know what? I say, let's go.
So we seen it with Kane, you know, him being the mayor over there in Tennessee and stuff like that. Look at Linda McMahon, she was running over there with Donald, you know, in his cabinet. So we've seen the outside people with Triple H, you know, he was doing the little press conference with Donald Trump. So we've seen.
Oh, yeah, he was up in the White House a couple weeks ago, yeah.
I mentioned Stephanie McMahon, she was there the other day. So we're starting to see a lot of sports people get involved in this stuff. So I said it, maybe a few years back or so, I said, well, shoot, what if The Rock did run for president or something like that? I said, you know, wrestling people and then outside people that don't watch wrestling. I think they would go for him, depending on, you know, his mindset and depending on what he's bringing to the table, his plan and all that. I just think people would probably vote for
nothing. Yeah, for real. I mean, I think they just be happy to get somebody else up in there, man. Well, some people, depending on what your views are. But yeah, man, hell, I vote for The Rock, man. I mean, why not? You know what I mean? You know, why not? Why not? You know, so. And then speaking of The Rock, man, he got that new movie out. I got to go catch that this weekend, man. Got to catch that The Smashing Machine. You saw it already or you did? I'm about to say, man, when you start seeing movies before me. I'm going to leave right now. I don't like that. What time? It's 11:24. Come on, catch me something late. Like, I'm about to say, we got to stop. We got to shut this live down right now. I got to go catch me a late show. I can't be letting you beat me to no movies. I'm about to say, hold on. Wait a minute. What? Okay, nah. But I'm probably going to go. If I don't go tomorrow, I'm definitely going to watch it on Sunday, though. But, yeah, I'm going to catch The Smashing Machine for real. And this thing better be as good as what everybody talking about, the way they've been hyping this thing up and the advertisement behind it. But I mean, it's the rock, you know. I support The Rock, so I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty sure I'm gonna like it, but we gonna see. You know what I'm saying? We gonna see, because they've been hyping it up. But anyway, so what we got coming up, we don't really have much coming up this weekend, man. I mean, we are waiting for well, obviously now we're talking about UFC. We got UFC 320, I believe it is, coming up tomorrow night. UFC 320, do not ask me who's on the card. I can't tell you right now. But we're going to still watch it, though. We're going to let y'all know what's good with it. And I'm going to have something to talk about on Monday. But and then speaking of the Monday pod, we're going to, of course, come back to y'all with that Monday night Raw live review. And then next weekend, we got Crown Jewel, right? Now, and then what's pissing me, well, I wouldn't say piss me off. I'm always say that. But I'm going to get up. I'm going to complain, but I'm going to get up anyway. But, you know, for us West Coast, we got that thing at 5 a.m. coming at us live on the ESPN Unlimited. Unlimited. I'll be watching on ESPN Unlimited with a limited amount of sleep. But I'll be watching, nevertheless, 5 a.m. I know some of y'all are going to probably watch it later when you wake up. So we're going to probably hit y'all with a pod later on that day just to give everybody a chance to watch. We don't want to spoil nothing. You know, I'll go live on y'all at 8 a.m., but I ain't even going to do it like that. We're going to give y'all time to wake up, get some breakfast, wash your face. You know what I'm saying? Wash your ass, all that. You know, clean up under your fingernails and let y'all wake up and catch the Crown Jewel show. And then we have something else. Oh, yeah, of course. Like you said, Tuesday, we got that that NXT TNA Invasion. We got to catch that. And then also, we got to talk about here. Huh?
No, I'm saying, did we talk about Brooke and the news?
Oh, you know what? Thank you, man. We did not talk about Dana Brooke. I didn't even have that in my notes, man. So that's how we got Jules in the show, man. You know what I'm saying? But what? So, I mean, she came out there. Well, we mentioned on the last pod when we did the review of the last TNA pay-per-view, but we didn't really go in the detail. We didn't really have no details. Now, she comes out there and drops the women's championship and says that she got to take time away, or I don't know if this is retirement. I don't know if this is like, I mean, I listen to, you know, a lot of different podcast shows during the week. Yesterday, I was listening to Busted Open. And they were, Natty Neidhart comes on there, and she was saying that somebody was saying that it might be a storyline. But then Natty was like, nah, I don't think it is a storyline. Because she was like, you know, she's very emotional. Now, I mean, obviously, I'm hoping it's a storyline, because
as far as the last thing I heard was Dreamer. So he came out and said that it's a career-threatening type of injury.
But Tommy Dreamer on the TNA roster. So you don't think that if it was a story, of course he gonna come out and and keep it alive and say all this. Here's my thing, right? So I got trust issues, right? I think the reason now why a lot of people think that everything's a story or a work is because now I got trust issues ever since Seth Rollins dropped them crutches. Okay. I got trust issues, but and Seth Rollins dropped them crutches on folks. And you know, man, what's even worse, but even makes me feel a little bit better as a fan, is because I felt like an idiot until I was listening to more than one different podcast where they were saying that even people backstage thought that Seth Rollins was legit hurt. The only people that didn't know that he was hurt is like Triple H, maybe, and like Becky and then his daughter, obviously. But like the people at work, they thought, and as a matter of fact, I was listening to Nikki Bella's interview on Stephanie's podcast, and she was like, yeah, you know, Seth, we had a whole conversation about his injury. Yeah. I mean, he's backstage, like, really selling this to everybody, like, in real life, like, not even on TV. So, I mean, at least I felt a little bit better to hear that. I'm like, okay, I wasn't the only one. We was all fooled, even them. You know what I mean? Yeah.
You know what? Real quick, you really don't see that in the business anymore. Something like that, you know. Normally, we just go out there, you know, sell the knee or sell the arm or whatever the case is. But something like that, yeah, you really don't get. So they only did it for Seth Rollins.
Yeah. But now in her case, the only part of me, cause I feel like it probably is a real situation. Like she has, like, I think it's a personal medical issue, something like that. They don't want to, it's a respect thing. They don't want to put it out there like that. But because storyline wise, to me at least, it wouldn't make sense. When Seth Rollins did what he did, it made sense. Because, okay, you know, you're trying to take yourself off the board so people pretty much forget about you, right? And then you can strike when nobody sees it coming. Because at the time, he still Mr. Money in the Bank. Then you had the whole finish when you had CM Punk finally win the championship. But then you had, you know, Seth Rollins cash in and take the moment in the world title, which made perfect sense. But then you flip over here, you got Ash by Elegance, Dana Brooke, whatever, with the already established TNA reigning, you know, I mean, hot out the pan, sizzling on fire right now on top of the world, women's world champion in TNA. And then all of a sudden she just drops the belt. I don't see any type of momentum or any type of benefit in her coming out there and dropping the belt. I could see, like, you know, if she lost the belt and then, you know, she tries to do like a fake injury where, like, you know, she, you know, or tries to scheme her way back to the title. But she came out there still champion and drops the belt. To me, I don't see what type of story this would lead to. You know what I mean? So that's a reason why I think it's probably, I mean, I would say 95% of me believes that it's not a storyline. But there's a 5% of me, bro, that got trust issues. You know what I mean? So, but nevertheless, on a serious note, we wish Ash by Elegance all the luck or all the prayers up, you know, for her, whatever's going on. Hopefully she can come back, you know, one day or something like that, because they still aren't saying if she's like fully retired or whatever's going like that. So, and then that's really all that we can do, man. You know what I mean? And then we'll see. But I'm telling you, if something comes out of this, bro.
Yeah, I'd be shocked.
I would, but I mean, you know what? And I mean, again, part of me kind of wants to see something come out of it, just because then we would know that it wasn't nothing serious, right? But you know, hopefully, you know, we'll see what happens with it. We'll see what happens, man. And good luck to her, and blessings up. But that is all the time that we have tonight for y'all. We thank everybody for watching here on IG Live. Thank you for everybody listening in on wherever you may get your podcast. And we will be back at y'all again with another episode, more reviews, more wrestling news, and real talk on Monday night after Raw. And Jules, what you got to say, man?
Yeah, so like I said, we'll be back with pretty much everything. We're going, of course, talk about UFC, of course. So we
We got to review that UFC 320. Yeah. Like I said, I don't even know who on the card. I ain't gonna lie. I think Sanhagen on there, Corey Sanhagen, I think, and somebody else. I gotta check the card because I got a bad memory. I looked at it. I'm gonna watch the fight, but I just didn't catch it. But we gonna talk about it though. And matter of fact, since you said that, you gonna talk about it. So, but nah. We gonna do it, man. But anyways, man, again, we thank y'all for real, man, for showing us that love, man. I see the views been going up, man. The subscribers are, especially over on Spotify land, man. I appreciate y'all out there. Apple Podcasts, everybody, like I said, all platforms, appreciate y'all showing that love, shopping with us, and staying up with us even tonight for all you folks on IG Live. And until next time, y'all stay safe, y'all stay blessed, and y'all stay easy. And we'll catch y'all later. Peace.